Well, open up to the book of John. If anyone needs a Bible, we actually brought, we got extra Bibles of the translation that I read from, the New American Standard, which is the one I always use, so that's my preference. So if you need one, or if you need a Bible, because we like to dig in, and that's one of the things that I just have to dig into the Word of God. And so today, we're in John chapter 1. Now we're going to really dig into some of the verses that we sort of perused last week. We sort of got a lot of introductory stuff about John, learned how John's life was changed by Jesus. We talked about how the fact that when John was at the beginning of his life, he was pretty violent and reactionary. He sort of was fly off the handle kind of guy, but at the end of the story with Jesus, he is this humble, patient, loving, gospel of love person. You know, he's the apostle whom Jesus loves. He's so humble he doesn't use his own name in this book. So we're going to look at John chapter 1, and we're going to look at some basic truths, four overall basic truths that really that the people in the world need. And a lot of us need to be reminded of. And so, John chapter 1, go there, and if you can put it on the screen if you want, or look at your Bible. John chapter 1, the first thing, and this is such, it's sort of basic, but sometimes it's a good reminder. The first truth that really people need to hear, and that John's going to start off with, is that true life is found only in Jesus because he's God. True life is found only in Jesus because he is God. Let's look at verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being by him, and apart from him, nothing came into being that has come into being. Let's stop right there. What's interesting is that John starts off with really just showing that Jesus is the Word that was back in Genesis 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and earth, right? Genesis 1:1, right? And it says, what does it say? And darkness was over the surface of the deep, right? And the earth was formless and void, and darkness was over the surface of the deep, right? And the Spirit was fluttering over the waters, right? Then God said, let there be light, right? Why? Because the first problem was darkness. And darkness was over the surface of the deep. Then God said, let there be light, and there was light, right? And the rest of the chapter 1 is now God taking the earth and making it, shapes it so it's inhabitable, and then he gives life to the earth because it's dead. It was dark and it was dead. Two problems, right? Well, John does this. He picks up on that idea from Genesis 1, brings it over and says, now, that same word that God used to speak things into existence actually became flesh. Jesus is God because he comes from God. He is God. It's like your words are your words, right? Because they come from you, but they're distinct from you. We talked about this last week. This is review. Jesus comes and says, John says, now Jesus comes and he doesn't give just physical life. Now he gives spiritual life. He gives light and life in people's lives, because people are born in darkness and people were born dead. You didn't realize, you go to the hospital and babies are born, and babies are born, you know. And remember at the hospital when the kids were born, they would ring, there was like a doorbell or a bell thing, and it would play like a lullaby in other parts of the hospital, so the people who are really sick and older and would be encouraged, oh, there's a new life coming to the world, right? Remember that? We did that at our hospital, we did it, right? Yay, you know. But you know that life is actually dead. Because when you're born, you're born spiritually dead. So that's what the people know. See, we're not born alive. We're born actually spiritually dead. And we're born in darkness. So John picks up on that idea in Genesis 1:1, takes over and says, now Jesus has come to bring light and life to people who are dead and dark. Does that make sense? Okay, here we go. But in order to do that, Jesus has to be divine. Because a regular person can't just give light and life to people, can they? I can't, other than physical, you know, mom and dad, da, 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 right? But I can't speak life or bring light to people in and of myself. And Jesus Christ is the only one who does that. That's why Jesus says, now, who do people say that I am? Because the rest of the Gospel of John is really proving who Jesus is. Several times, Jesus claims to be somebody significant, right? He's the only one who claims to be God. You have people in different religions who claim to be somebody, right? People in the other big religions of the world, they claim to be somebody. And they don't claim that Jesus was anything other than a person, a prophet, a great teacher, right? But John starts off and says, no, he has to be God. He has to be God. That's why, in fact, in order for Jesus to be God, he has to be God to do what he does. So he says this. John says, watch this. Look at verse 1. In the beginning was the Word. Now I'm just going to show you some Greek stuff. In the Greek text, or in the Greek language, that word it's a little fancy here. It means always existed. Okay? There's a distinction between what God was. He always existed, is what the Greek says. In the beginning, the Word was. That means the Word always existed. But later on, he'll say, all things came into being, verse 3, by him, and apart from him, nothing came into being. You see how that came into being? That's a different word. That means something that didn't exist now exists now, like you and I, right? There's a distinction between Jesus, who always existed, and the rest of us who came into being. We know that, right? Well, only he's eternal in that aspect. So Jesus is God. Now, John actually says three reasons why. One is that Jesus, he has the same attributes as God, right? What he is, let's say. He's eternal. The Word was with God, right? He's timeless. He's eternal. All things came into being. He does what God does. He creates, right? He gives life. The third thing, what he does, and what he says are the three main things. Jesus says the words of God, right? He is the Word of God, but he speaks what God says, right? One time he lost a lot of the disciples' followers, stopped following him. He turns to the disciples and say, well, do you guys want to go too? And Peter's like, well, where should we go? You have the words of life. So he is what God is. He says what God says, and he does what God does, right? And that's the rest of the Gospels is really showing what Jesus is. He creates life. He sustains life. He creates light. He is light. He gives freedom. He gives hope. He overcomes. He changes people. He gives them new beginnings. He forgives. Who can God forgive sin but God alone? Is what the Pharisees would say to him later on. Hint, hint, hint. Yeah. You're almost there. Bingo. I mean, in fact, I told you this last week, the main turning point in the Gospel of John is in chapter 11 or 12 when he raises Lazarus from the dead. And it's because it was after he raises Lazarus that they decided to kill Jesus. They couldn't stand what he said, and the miracles he did, they were ridiculous. But then when he raised from the dead, that shows he gives life, right? And they couldn't handle it. In fact, he says he is the one who not only speaks words of God in general, but he speaks life and light and grace and truth, etc. So John has to start off with Jesus being God, that true life is found only in Jesus because Jesus is God. Some of us are looking for life outside of Jesus, or in addition to Jesus, right? Some of us have experimented. We've gone down different roads in our life. We've traveled. We know what the truth is, but for some reason we decided to leave that and go down prodigal roads, let's call it, right? Some of us have done that in our lives. Some of us have been brought back by the grace of God. Some of us have said, I'm thankful that God brought me back, right? Because I've traveled that road before, and I know that does not lead to life. It leads to death. And we've come, a lot of us have come to that end of that road, and we've realized, yeah, true life actually isn't Jesus. But some of us are sort of tiptoeing around, thinking, well, I know Jesus, my mom and dad says this, and my friends say this, and my pastor says this, but you know something? I'm going to try out and see if it's really true. You'll find that no matter what, true life is really only in Christ, right? It's in nowhere else. It's in not your wife. No, I love my wife. I love my kids. It's not in your family is great. It's really only in Christ. Nothing else can substitute for Christ. The world is looking for that, aren't they? The world is looking for life. They know about Jesus. And Jesus says, in fact, he says later on in the Gospel of John, you know, I am the bread of life. I am the living bread. I am the bread that came down from heaven. That's me, right? And John's going to develop a lot of these later on. In fact, the prologue, which is what you're looking at here, verses 1 through 18, it's called a prologue, is really an introduction to the rest of the book. He gives you the themes that are going on the rest of the book, right? Life and death, light and light, things like that. In fact, the second essential truth I think that people in the world need to hear, and people here also, a lot of us, is that the light of Christ is greater than and can overcome any darkness. The light of Christ is greater than and can overcome any darkness. Look at verse 4. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it or overpower it, overtake it. I'll stop right there. In fact, John is going to do is this. He starts off by saying Jesus is God. Now, but he doesn't tell you everything about Jesus being God, right? He tells you he creates and sustains, but then later he says, now let me find to it. He's light and life, right? He's speaking to people who are perhaps have been in a dark, dark world. And the light of Christ is greater than any light in the world. In him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shines in the darkness. Some of us have experienced that experience spiritually, right? Where God shined the light in our soul in such a way that we got it, right? That we were alive, that we understood, that things became differently, that the clouds were lifted, so to speak. You know, it's interesting. I was thinking about this, the effects of darkness, the characteristics of darkness, because, you know, darkness really is the absence of light, right? And it's interesting, if you think about it, I just was thinking about physically, okay, what happens if we had the lights off in the dark? Let's just imagine the lights were off, right? Because I don't want to, okay, so we're in the dark, what happens? Let's just imagine, my eyes are closed to pretend like I'm in the dark, you know, but you guys are watching me because that's, you know, I'm walking around in the dark. What's going to happen? What's going to happen? Whoa! I might. Imagine if I did some crazy thing and decide to walk that way, in the dark. How many of you guys have woke? Oh, come on! You're in your bedroom, right? It's dark out. It's dark in your bedroom, and you accidentally forgot, or you left something, right? Maybe it's a laundry basket, or maybe it's somebody's shoes. You know, and you're walking in the dark, and you're like you're tripping over because you're like, what? Right? You can't see, can you? You're going to get tripped up easily, right? Sometimes I get home and I see the kids working on homework, right? And they like to sit in the dark. And I'm like, guys, come on. I'm older and you guys are younger because, you know, your eyes work better than I do. By the way, these are like backup glasses because I couldn't find my glasses. I must have dropped them in the dark or something, you know, and can't find them, you know? So darkness. You can stumble in dark, right? You don't know where you're going. In fact, you know, some of us, we live at home, and so we know our paths, but sometimes if we're in a new place, we don't really know where we're going. How many of you guys have gone camping before and have traversed through a trail to set up a campsite and it's dark and the lantern's not lighting? You know, remember the old days when you light the, you know, and you couldn't get the thing to, and you're sitting in the dark, you know, and you're wish you were home in your bed, but you're out camping because you decided you're in the dark, right? And you're in a new place, and you can't see. Well, spiritually, darkness refers to ignorance. It refers spiritually to, here's what happens in the dark: doubts, confusion, disoriented in life, no direction in life. People who are, if you see in the dark, sometimes you ever wonder, it's in the dark. Okay, this happened to my dad one time. He was, you know how it is, you open your eyes and your eyes are like kind of doing the adjusting thing? And he thought, because it was dark, and he thought that there was a man standing in the corner. And this is a true story. I wish he were here. And so he thought it was an intruder. So he took a glass or did something and he threw it. Because it was dark, right? And later on, he turned the light on, and it was a coat stand with a coat and a hat in the corner of his. When it's dark, you don't get a clear view of reality. It's distorted. Those of us who've walked in the dark, and things become very distorted. People who live in the dark live in secret, right? Now, if you want to do something that you don't want anybody else to find out, you do it in the dark usually. You do it without anybody seeing it. Things that are hidden. In fact, 1 Corinthians 4:15 says, "Therefore, do not go on passing judgment before the time, but wait until the Lord comes, who will both bring to light the things hidden in the darkness and disclose the motives of men's hearts." That's the one area in our lives where we're often really in the hiding things in the dark, right? And now we can fool people around us, right? What's in the dark to us is really in the light to God. Jesus says to them, he says, "For a little while longer," in John 12:35, "the light is among you. Walk while you have the light, so that darkness will not overtake you. He who walks in the darkness does not know where he's going." You can't see in the dark. John and the scriptures talk about the distorted view that happens, that when you're walking in the dark, you stumble. In fact, he says later on in 1 John 1, you can turn there if you want real fast, 1 John 1, he says this. In verse 6, he says, "If we say that we have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth." Now, there's a relationship between darkness, lies, and darkness, right? Darkness and lies. "But if we walk in the light," he goes on in verse 7. The point there is this, is that the fellowship with God now is not there any longer. Darkness also, when you're in darkness, you walk in ignorance as well. Ephesians 4:18 says that being darkened in their understanding, excluded from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the hardness of their heart. And there's all kinds of scripture on what darkness does, what people who live in darkness are. They're thankless, self-deceived, right? You think you're going the right way. You think you know where you're going, but you don't know where you're going. And you think you understand, but you don't really understand because you're in the dark. You become hard-hearted and calloused in the dark, right? Romans 1 says, "For even though they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks, but they became futile in their speculations, and their foolish heart was darkened. And then they thought they were wise. Professing to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the incorruptible God for an image of an invisible, corruptible man, and started worshiping the birds and creatures." And God says, "I'll give you over to those lust. That's the plight of people who live in darkness. In fact, Darkness is associated also with being in prison. Spiritually speaking, people who are in the dark are in prison. And they can't get a way out. And they don't understand how to get out. That's why Jesus came to release the prisoner, right? I'm thankful that God released me from prison. How about you? I'm thankful, I'm praising the Lord, that I was in the darkness. I was a miserable guy in the darkness. And I thought I had figured out. I thought life was all clear to me. How many of you guys were like that, right? And then God really turned the lights, and you're like, and God's like, now this is the way it's supposed to be. That's why he says in John chapter 12, he says, I have come as light into the world so that everyone who believes in me will not remain in darkness. People who are in dark are spiritually blind. They're without understanding. Their heart is hard. Their view is distorted. And they're trapped in prison. And here's the last thing. They're never satisfied. See, some of us have traveled that road down darkness, haven't we? Some of us have traveled that road, and we've looked for fulfillment in life. Never being satisfied, right? Never being fulfilled. In fact, go to, I'll just read it to you. Paul says, do not participate in the unfruitful deeds of darkness, but instead of even expose them. It's unfruitful. It's unsatisfying being in the dark. Now, the good news is this. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. Watch this, verse 5. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it or overpower. Look at verse 5 again. And the light shines in the darkness. How many of you guys are thankful for that light that shined in the darkness? Praise the Lord, right? Because though we were in prison, and we were in the dark, and we had no other choice, Jesus Christ decided to do an invasion of the darkness, right? I'm so glad that darkness, and he says, does not comprehend it or overpower it. It's the same word. It can mean overpower it as in like overtaking it. Now, light, physical light, travels at, what, 186,000 miles per second? You can't out... Sorry, it's the fastest thing in the universe, right? Other than God's thoughts or whatever, you know, is faster than that, you know. Darkness can't run that fast, right? It can't overtake light. Light will always dominate. That's why light... There's no dark and light, you know, like the wrestling match, and they're like, who's going to win? That's nonsense. Light always wins over the darkness. Always. Okay? Darkness also does not understand light. Did not comprehend it. So here's Jesus coming on this rescue mission to bring light to people. And that light was his life. He came to bring life. Just like there was darkness in Genesis 1, some of us have had darkness in our lives, and Jesus Christ has come to bring light into our lives. Third truth, is only Jesus is the true light of God. It's the exclusivity of Jesus. Now, the world hates that. I'll say it again. The exclusivity of Christ. He is the only true light of God. Christ is the only true light of God. Watch this. Verse 6. There came a man sent from God whose name was John. He came for a witness that he might bear witness to the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but he came to bear witness of the light. There was the true light, which coming into the world enlightens every man. He, that's Jesus, was in the world, and the world was made through him, and yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, which were probably the Jewish people, and those who were his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. John is pointing out here, first of all, that Christ himself is the true light of God. Now, like I said, there's two problems in the world. They're dead and they're dark, right? The world wants to follow everything else but Jesus, right? They want to look to other lights, right? And so they have false lights. In fact, they say, look to the light within, right? Look to the light within. You are the light, you know? Kind of creepy sounding, right? No, I'm not, actually. Yeah, you know? There's a false lights. They don't want Christ. They want false light, false truths. Here's how you can tell false light, okay? Here's how you can tell. Firstly, false light exalts self and man, right? Look to yourself. The answer's within, right? That kind of stuff. That's false. They sound very spiritual, right? They have spiritual language and everything that's religion, and you got to try harder workspace things, right? The second thing is they diminish the Word of God. Well, that's just one way to heaven. We have another way of heaven. That's a good book. We have a supplement to that book. We accept all that. You know those bumper stickers you see? You know the bumper stickers that have all the religious symbols, you know? It all leads to the same place. Come, my children, come, you know? Come to the true... No, they don't believe in true light. They want to add things. They diminish the exclusivity of Christ. They diminish the Word of God. They want to soften the Word of God. They want to change the Word of God. They want to take away from the Word of God, right? That's why some of these Bible translations come out. I got to be careful what I say. But some of them, there's certain books that come out and they take things away from the Scriptures, right? Like there's one that's, I don't like the story or something. They took the genealogy away. I'm like, what? Listen, if God felt it worthy for those genealogies to make it into His Word, how dare you take those things out? Oh, because we don't get it. And I don't understand Leviticus, so I might as well take that out. What? Leviticus? Come on, we could preach the whole... let's do a series on Leviticus, and I'll teach you what... The point is this, don't take away from the Word of God. The world wants to diminish. Oh, you can worship God, but don't you mention Jesus, right? That's what the world wants to do. It wants to have other ways. Well, there's got to be other ways. And Jesus says, no, I am the way. Finally, you can tell a false light and the unwillingness to really to come to Christ, unwillingness to live in the light, unwillingness to come to Jesus and have Him deliver them. So the world has these false lights. They also have false life as well, right? How many of you guys want a better life today? Right? You can go to the bookstore, you can go to the Barnes & Noble bookstore right now, and there's a whole section on self-help. Now, I want to improve, okay, I want to weigh a certain way, I want to be in a certain shape, you know, I want to be a kinder, gentler person, right? But there's something that they're looking for, of adding life to their life that does not work. Improving yourself. It's all based on man, source, material, and it's all feeding your lust. Now, false light and false life leads to big problems because when you really need help, it doesn't help you. Only Jesus is the true light. Only Christ can bring true hope to those dwelling in darkness. Only Jesus can bring true change. Only Jesus can actually change a person from darkness to light, from dead to life. Only Jesus. Amen? Jesus says, first of all, He's the light of the world. He says in John 8, Jesus says, I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. That's a bold claim. I would never say, I am the light of the world, because I know that I'm not. And I'm not delusional, but He backs it up with His life. He backs it up with what He says and what He does, right? He's the person that leads people out of darkness. I have come as light into the world, He says in John 12:46, so that everyone who believes in me will not remain in darkness. See, here's the difference here. God, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, right? In the beginning was was the Word who always existed, right? Then there's those of us who are in darkness. But it's not until Christ comes that he can change you from darkness to light, right? From deadness to life. See, some of us are discouraged or have been discouraged before Christ that life would always be the same, right? But Jesus Christ does change people. Truly change, right? Actually, powerfully change. Like, are you the same person? You know? Am I looking and talking to the same person? Something's different about you. You have this, you have something in your eyes. You have this glow. You have, people notice that. And some of us try to be secretive Christians, right? Some of us, we try, no, you guys are quiet. Some of us are like trying to be like stealth Christians, you know? We try to like just blend in, you know, and just don't keep to ourselves. But honestly, to the world and people around you, people we work with, they notice a difference. Because you are the light of the world, as Christ says. Not because of yourself, but because of the indwelling of Christ within you. For God who has said, 2 Corinthians 4:6, for God who said, light shall shine out of darkness, is the one who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. He's the one who, thank you, Lord, that you have shined. I don't know about you, I am thankful for that. I am extremely, some of you guys are young, okay, young people? Okay. You won't, maybe you won't understand quite to the seasoned depth of some of us who have walked with the Lord quite some, but you will. Hello. You may walk through certain paths in your life that you did not realize you went there, and you need help, and the Lord will be there to be your help, and you'll realize that the Lord is the only one who will give you light in life. He's the only one who can rescue you from darkness. He is the true light. He's the true life. Now, here's the thing, though. This is where John gets into the world needs help, right? They need help because, first of all, they don't realize that they're in darkness. They're blind to it. They need people to point them in the right direction, right? That's why John the Baptist had to come and point people the right direction and say, hey, go to verse 6. And there was a man who was sent from God, whose name was John. That's John the Baptist. He came for a witness that he might bear witness of the light. The role of John the Baptist isn't finished today, right? Those of us who can share with others the truth about Christ and point the direction of people. There are people who are living in this world, friends, family, neighbors of ours, who are desperate. You realize we're not God, right? We aren't timeless. We have a beginning, but we'll have an end, don't we? And this earth, meaning. And then an eternal future somewhere else. Your friends, your neighbors, your coworkers, your family are going to spend eternity somewhere. I want to be the one that points people in the direction of Jesus, right? I'm not the Christ. It says, he came for a witness that he might bear witness of the light, that all may believe through him. He was not the light, but he came to bear witness of the light. That's our role today, right? Now think about it. Fast forward 1,000 years from now. When we're in heaven, who's going to be there because we were light to these people and did something or said something or encouraged or loved, right, and shared the gospel with them? The world is not only in darkness and needs light, but they're also dead and they need life. And now here's the thing, though. John says that people are born dead, but those who believe in Christ will become alive. And the Holy Spirit of God has to do something there. Look at it, he says in verse 12. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, and even to those who believe in his name, who are born not of the blood, nor the will of flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. What he's saying is this. You could try all you can to make yourself spiritually alive, but you can't. You could try all the books, all the gurus, all the other religions. It will never make you spiritually alive. Spiritual life actually comes from the Holy Spirit who makes you alive. Okay? That's why he says in John chapter 3 to Nicodemus, unless you are born again, you cannot see the kingdom of heaven. I was like, well, I can't, Mom, I can't, you know? let's not go there, right? And Jesus says, no, it's a spiritual birth. And just like you, that's a work of the Holy Spirit. We call it regeneration or born again. John's actually alluding to that right here. He'll pick up later on, John chapter 3, with the full development of that. The idea is this. You need both the light to point you in the direction of Christ, to believe, and you need the work of the Holy Spirit to make you alive. Does that make sense? We're born not, he says, as many as received them, he gave the right to become children of God. That tells me something. That means, have you heard the phrase, oh, we're all children of God? You ever hear that? Oh, you know, we're all children. It's like some songs out there, you know, and it's, you know, we're all the children of God. You know, you follow God this way, and I follow this. No, we're not children of, no, we're not. Those of us who have been born again are children of God. The rest of us are not. We're not born children of God. We're born a creation of God. But a child of God, it happens because of faith in Christ, right? Amen. Fourth thing, last thing, and I'll finish quickly here, is that, what was the first three? I know what they were, but just make sure you follow along. First thing, we said that true life is found only in Jesus because he is God. Secondly, the light of Christ is greater than and can overcome any darkness. Third, Christ is exclusive and he is the only true light of God. And fourthly, Jesus and only Jesus makes God tangible and relatable because he became a man. Jesus became a man. He took on flesh and God, in one sense, became tangible. Look at verse 14. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, glory as of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. Now, I know there's a lot of these scriptures I can dig even deeper on. Maybe I will next week, but maybe this section we will. This is talking about the incarnation, okay, which means that God became man. Now, technically, it's called the incarnation, and Jesus did not stop becoming or being God when he became a man. So he's fully God, but he took on flesh, and he's fully man. And it's a technical term called the hypostatic union, where you have the divinity of Christ and humanity of Christ, and he's 100% both at the same time. And what John is doing here is he's actually referring back to in Exodus 33 and 34, where the tabernacle, the tent that the children of Israel would carry around, became the dwelling place of God. And Moses would meet, and the people would watch Moses meet, and the pillar of cloud, the fire, everything else, you know, the presence of God is there. And he's referring back to Exodus 33 and 34, when God tented himself with his people, tabernacled himself with his people, is the same word and phrase that John is using here. And Jesus tented himself, right? He became flesh. Now here's what's interesting. Up until this point, John doesn't mention anything about giving God glory. But not until Christ takes on flesh does he say this. He says, and we beheld his glory as of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. In other words, it's not until Jesus comes and now they can see God in the flesh that they glorify God because they see there's something tangible, something relatable. See, some of us, we can talk about abstract terms all the way long, but until we see Christ lived out in a way that we can relate and understand. That's why when you follow the life of Christ, you're like, I understand that. I relate to it. Oh, that's what God's like, you know? Look at the life of Christ. If you want to learn about God, he is God, and he's saying this is what God's life, and he makes God sort of tangible and relatable and approachable. See, they couldn't come to the tabernacle, and you just couldn't just walk in. You had to go through ceremonies and sacrifices, but Christ makes it so that anyone can come. A woman who's suffering is touching. And a guy, somebody's suffering. They're touching, and they're looking. Does that make sense? Christ makes it so that God is real to us in one sense. Sometimes we're like, Lord, I just wish you were be real. Just show up to me. Look at the life of Christ. That's where he demonstrates what he's like, right? And the world is looking for that. A lot of us are looking for that.
look at the life of Christ. What you see in Jesus is a perfect, exact representation of what God is like. The words he says are not my words, he says they're God's words, they're Father's words. The things I do are things I see from God in heaven. Last thing. What do we learn about God through Jesus? Here's what he says. The only begotten from the Father, full of what? Grace and truth. In fact, it says, for of his fullness, verse 16, we have all received, and grace upon grace. Law was given through Moses, grace and truth we realize through Jesus Christ. Do you want to learn about what's God like in the life of Christ? He's God of grace and truth. God is gracious and God is true. Some of us have a distorted view of God as being this mean, angry, out-to-get-you person. And Jesus says, no, God is gracious and God is true. He's relatable. He's approachable. And here's the thing. When Jesus became man, it's for all the rest of eternity. You know, in heaven, we're going to see Jesus, and he's going to have supernatural. He's going to have, like, a really cool, better than Marvel Comics and DC Comics can produce, you know, superhero body, you know. He has it right now, and we'll have that someday, a spiritual body that can walk through walls, you know, kind of that kind of, you know, just really fun stuff, you know. Never decays, never dies, never gets old, never grays, you know. What age do you want to be in heaven? I want to be 25. I don't know. You know, it's like, and all of eternity. He won't go back to being unfleshed. He'll take on flesh for the rest of eternity. So we'll get the look in his eyes. We'll look at the sea, his handprint, right? The nails that went through his palms and his side, right? By the way, you want to know, if somebody appears to you and says, I'm Jesus, look for the holes, right? We'll see that, those permanent tattoos that he's kept and not covered up or healed, because he could heal at any time, right? He's permanently kept that because he wants to demonstrate that he's the light of the world, and he's the light of the world, and the life of the world. He's light in a dark place, and he's life in a dead place, right? He's given us light and life, right? That's why we're thankful for him today, right? Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. I think I'm done. Let's pray. And we're going to worship a few fewer times. Now, as we're praying or as we're worshiping, just think about how he is life to you, and how he is light to you, and how he has given you his life, that he lives his life through you. And Father, I just praise you to this morning, God, that, and we just barely scratched the surface, that even just thinking about God makes dead things alive. He makes dead people alive. He makes those who are in darkness transfer from that kingdom, that domain of death, of lies, of imprisonment, of deceit, of hurt, of ignorance, that he has reached down and pulled some of us up and transferred us into the kingdom of his glorious light, into the kingdom of God, and that we are alive, no longer dead, that we're full of light, the light of God, and no more in darkness, God, because of Christ. We just want to say thank you, God. We just want to give you praise for that, God. Lord, I pray for whoever's in here who's maybe contemplating on some dark issues or dark things. Give that to God. Go back to Jesus. Look at Jesus. Don't go down those dark trails. Follow Jesus. He's the only one who actually cares about you. He's the only one because he made you, because he loves you. Lord, I pray, Lord, that we would understand and continue to grow in the grace and truth of God because of what we see in Christ.